Today, as we celebrate this glorious feast of our Blessed Lady's birth, we have to be able to put it into both the natural and the spiritual context. The natural context, probably very people noticed. Tradition tells us that her mother was probably elderly, beyond the normal age of childbearing. Consequently, the people that knew her certainly would have recognized something extraordinary was happening. At the same time, of course, people naturally are going to be rejoicing in the birth of any child. And did anybody notice, other than perhaps the age of the parents of this little girl, that there was anything different about her? But the angels did. They knew. And just as we see the angels praising God at the time of our Lord's birth, something similar would certainly be happening with our Blessed Lady. First of all, because there was a human being who was born without sin. This had not happened before, someone who was conceived without sin. And so there was great cause for rejoicing in a miracle that was beyond the obvious one, which was the conception and birth of a child. But this child was extraordinary, and no one could see because they couldn't see her soul. But the angels could, and they understood exactly what this was about. Rejoicing in the holiness of the couple who had conceived her, rejoicing that God had begun now the immediate preparation for the salvation of the human race by making a woman without sin, by making a woman who would be the mother of the Son of God. As I said, on the natural level, no one would have known that. They would not have understood. We're not even told that there was anything extraordinary that occurred for St. Anne and St. Joachim. We hear, for instance, when St. John the Baptist is going to be conceived, that the angel appeared to his father, Zechariah, to be able to tell him what was going to be happening. We're not told that anything like that happened with Our Lady. Maybe it did, it's just not told to us, but generally it is not assumed that anything like that occurred. So in other words, St. Anne and St. Joachim didn't understand fully who this little girl that they had conceived was going to be. But regardless of that, for us to recognize the importance of this, that one human person, out of the billions of human persons who have lived in the course of humanity, one is without sin. One has lived a life totally, 100% literally dedicated to God. One has lived her life in total union with the will of God in all things. We see that even in the gospel reading, where St. Joseph is contemplating the idea of divorcing Our Lady. Once again, we see that she doesn't say a word. She could have defended herself. She could have said something to Joseph, but she didn't. She let God take care of it. You see that extraordinary faith, the extraordinary trust that she had. Now you could say, well, of course, the angel had already told her that she was going to be the mother of God, which is true. The angel didn't say, by the way, your husband's going to have some problems with this and not understand and might want to get a divorce, and didn't say anything about that. Our Lady just simply had to trust. God's will was going to be taken care of. And that's exactly what you and I have to learn. Obviously, on one hand, it was easier for our Blessed Lady. She didn't have sin. There was nothing in the way of her ability to have that trust, to have that kind of faith. We've got lots of things that are in our way. And yet at the same time, God is asking for each one of us to have that trust, to have that faith. When we look at the readings that the church gives us today, not only do we have the genealogy going all the way back to Abraham, but we have this prophecy that again is about the birth of Jesus. You, Bethlehem Ephrathah. But what's important about it in the context of today's feast is that you see from hundreds of years before God, and when we go back even to the genealogy of Abraham, more than 1,000 years, God had been preparing everything. He had foretold it. He had prepared it. And so we can see even in the genealogy all the different people who are involved, all the people that God chose to be part of this. Did they have any clue? No. And yet, God was employing them to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. All of these things are essential for us to understand, because he's done the same thing for you and me. He didn't reveal it. He didn't put it in Scripture like he did with the birth of his son. But if you look at your own genealogy, God has prepared the way for you. When you look at whatever it is that he's asking of you, he has given you all the graces to do whatever it is he's asking. It's all there. So Our Lady was given these graces because she was going to be the mother of God. That's what her call was. And so she was conceived without sin and never once sinned in her entire life. Because if God was going to become one of us, he is still God and had to be free of sin, free from any personal direct connection with it. But Our Lady also needed the graces to be able to do what God was asking her to do. Think what that would require. I mean, you might sit back and think romantically, oh, wouldn't it be cool to be the mother of God? Like, think what it would actually require to be the mother of God. Think of the rejection that they'd lived with. Think of the struggles that they dealt with. Think of all the things that occurred. I mean, we're even told some of them. It would not have been an easy task. And then to stand at the foot of the cross while your son is going through all of this, knowing why it's happening, and saying yes to God while all of that is happening. That required, obviously, immense amounts of grace, which she was given. But you and I are also given all the graces that we need to do whatever it is God is asking of us. But it's not going to be given any differently. In other words, we have to dispose ourselves. We have to be deep in prayer. We have to be seeking the will of God. Our Lady didn't just walk through this and say, well, because I don't have any sin, I don't have any problems, so I don't have to worry about this. It's like, no, she prayed. She was in union with God. She was seeking the will of God in all things and united her will to his, making that choice at every moment to do the will of God. And so we have to be about that same thing, to make those choices and to be seeking the will of God. So as we rejoice that one human person has been born free of any stain of original sin, so that that one person could represent all of us, and not only represent us as the one human person who has done this perfectly, but to be our mother, to be a spiritual mother to all of us, so that she is interceding for us, so that she is helping us to be able to get to heaven. And so, as I mentioned a minute ago, the graces are given through prayer and through our trying to do God's will. But the one difference is that now every single grace that's given is given through our Blessed Lady. God gives the grace, but he gives it through her. And so that's where the difference lies, because of who she is. And so she continues in that charity, in that great generosity, which we see throughout her life. She continues that toward you and me as well. So turn to her. She is the most humble human person to ever live. She is the most charitable human person ever to live. And none of that has changed where she is now in heaven. So go to her. She is indeed the Mother of God, but she is your mother as well. Come to her. Have trust, have confidence, have faith. God has set all of this up for our good. Yes, all this that we see for the coming of his Son, the coming of his Son was so that our souls could be saved. And now that the grace of salvation and redemption are there, he's given us everything we need to stay within that, particularly with our Blessed Lady, to keep us close to her Son. So turn to her. Open your heart as she did to be able to receive the grace of God so that, just like her, you can do his will in all things.